Look up there in the sky. It's a bird, a plane. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour.
Those boys are so handsome.
One weekly discussion of comics and nerd culture. I am your host, Robbie Norman, literature geek and writer.
And I'm your other host, Eric Z. Goodnight, professional artist and illustration nerd.
And we are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, your home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more. We are live, kind of. Yeah. I mean, we are here.
We are alive.
We are alive at Dragon Con.
I mean, it's happening just below our feet.
Yes, and around us.
Yeah.
Above, below.
I can hear it.
Yeah. Look, there's a siren.
Yeah.
Someone dressed like Batman got hit by a car.
One of those famous Atlanta murders.
What's it? The Murder Kroger?
It happened at Murder Kroger. Do yourself a favor and Google Murder Kroger. Cause it's funny that everyone decided to go along with that.
It reminds me of the, Walmart on Fletcher. Near USF.
Mm-hmm.
That seems.
Well, there's a lot of stuff near USF that's sketch as hell.
Yes. Suitcase City.
Yeah. It's a little on the rough side.
But yeah, folks, we are at Dragon Con, Atlanta's, preeminent comic book convention, okay. Biggest of the Southeast, I would say.
I wonder how many other people are podcasting from here right now.
At this moment, we're probably not the only ones.
Probably not the only ones.
Yeah, there's probably others, but we are the best.
Undeniably true.
Clearly.
Yeah.
It's me and you. How could it be better?
If there were two of me.
It's a clone. Okay. Clones is the answer.
Clones is the answer.
But, yeah, folks, we have, the episode's a little bit different this week since we, are fresh from the con. We're actually sitting across from each other in our hotel room.
I have a whole day and a half of con left.
Yeah, my fiance and I are checking out early tomorrow morning. Eric's he's in it for the long haul.
I'm leaving on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, Monday's gonna be a very boring day. It usually is incredibly low key. It is.
Well,
this is
some deals.
It's true, but this is the first of the hangover days.
Yes, exactly.
Tomorrow is the second of the hangover days.
But they're already talking about how, we were talking about it before about how Thursday was New Friday.
Yeah.
And now that they were, there's other people mind living today who are like, Thursday this year has been like Fridays of
yes.
last year, and it's just getting bigger.
By the end of the day, by the end of the day, Thursday, it was, people were ready to mingle.
Yeah. But we're going to hit up some week's books like we usually do, but then after that, we're just going to talk con, pros and cons of the con.
Dragon pros and dragon cons.
Dragon pro and dragon con. Yeah. I think that's a good one.
So when you smile when you're talking, you grit your teeth and you talk through your teeth. They sound so...
I'm so angry.
Yeah.
Sound like a Macho Man a little bit.
You do.
But yeah, we're going to start off with weekly floppies this week. Which is, that's a little weird. Just going straight to weekly floppies.
I know. Why does it... You don't want to hear about me fucking around in Linux.
Well... next week.
Yeah, well,
we'll get
there's a time and a place.
Yeah. Weekly Floppies is part of the show, and Eric and I talk about the week's books and tell you to buy or do not buy them. And this week we have some interesting books, right, Eric?
I think that is the word I would use. Or actually, some completely not interesting books.
Okay, we're starting off with Marvel. We're going to do Uncanny Avengers number 23. Written by Rick Remender, art by Sanford Green, who is here at the con, colors by Dean White, and letters by Clayton Cowles.
Can I just start off that I was actually very disappointed? I read this after getting to the con. I was very disappointed to see that it was Sanford Green that did this book, because it's kind of average, and I effing love Sanford Green. I just, every time I see him, I just want to hug the shit out of him. He is the, like, he is one of the nicest guys at the con. I literally have in my hand right at this moment, an art book that I bought from him that I had to have because he is awesome and I adore him. But yeah, it's not bad, but it doesn't live up to the Sanford Green standard that I like. I'm not sure what the weak link is. I think that it's just, it wasn't personal enough for him. I think I'm used to his personal work and he's a little bit more passionate about it and he really digs in a little bit more. This is a little, it just is a little flat, but it's not terrible.
No, this book is really just covering kind of, it's just rounding up like,
yeah,
what happened after.
And I think a lot of that's, coloring my experience of this issue too.
A dozen issues are, yes, kind of being, it's cleaning up the loose ends here. It's like people are being brought out of like stasis tubes where,
yes,
apparently Havoc is now permanently burnt. He's like Dark Man.
Mm-hmm.
Sunfire is now like a cosmic fire being.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think he's been like that before.
That
seems like he has. I don't know. Wolverine. I think Wolverine. That is just.
Yeah, that's not a. I'm glad that Comixology decided to zoom in.
Yeah, woo. Right,
this is an ugly panel. Let me zoom in on it.
Yeah, Wolverine looks a little strange.
But he looks a little meatheady.
Yeah. A lot of it is Rogue still has Wonder Man trapped inside of her, and they're trying to figure it out. And Mortis is kind of there. It's just kind of portentous things to come and blah blah blah. I don't know the art. Some of it I really liked, and then again some of it just like meh.
Yeah. But it's still Sanford. I would almost buy it just to support him, but that's just because I don't know. He's a Carolina boy too. I think that's why I like him so much.
A lot of comic creators come out of Carolina.
Good.
That's probably why Heroes Con does so well.
I imagine so.
Yeah. But I
comic artists and wrestlers, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like a.
I'm going to do both.
I think I don't know. It's a little late in life for you to become a wrestler.
Nah.
Usually by this time in life, wrestlers are already done.
they're retiring.
Yes. But I can't really. I mean, I really like this series. I can't recommend this book. It's not
necessary, it's a mess,
at all. There's nothing in it that you need to read. There's nothing in it. Either a book has to be like feel important, or it has enough character in it to really tell it. And this really has neither to me. So I am a do not buy.
I completely agree with your synopsis. It's hard for me to even read it. You understand better. This whole event, I only have read maybe a third of it.
Right.
I thoroughly did not enjoy it. And it bothers me. I mean, sometimes good people make less than good art. And I think we'll forgive Remender and, Sanford of that.
No, it says double do not buy. Uncanny Avengers number, was it 23?
25. She was to 23. I think
Okay.
If I can keep this on.
23. I was already jumping ahead. Next up is Wolverine, number 12. Written by Paul Cornell, Pete Wood on pencils and inks, David Curiel doing colors, Corey Pettit doing letters. This is a lot of convoluted crap. I only picked it this week just because of its the conclusion of the storyline before they jump into
The Death of Wolverine, yeah,
which is coming up soon. That will have Steve McNiven on art, which we will be reading. Most of this is kind of nonsense.
Yes.
But, I mean, the main point is Wolverine, Sabretooth having a showdown. Sabretooth, for some reason, has this orb that gives you, like, super, like, the powers of a god or something.
The powers of wishing.
Yeah, powers. And Wolverine, you know, they have a kind of a Wolverine, Sabretooth showdown, which We've never seen that before.
No.
But Wolverine gets really hurt. He's in the hospital. You know, he's a lot of the dealing with the loss of the healing factor and all that. There is some back matter material with like little mini stories that are hit and miss, put it lightly. I didn't really, none of them are like so great that I kind of interested in the Nick Fury bit a little bit, but it didn't really, I don't know, didn't hit me. Like, the bar was, the, I think the bar story was the most interesting one, the Guernica, the superhero bar. I think that was the most interesting to me. The vampire telling a story about Wolverine that makes me want to vomit.
Of course it does.
But this book, I don't know. It tells the story it's telling well enough, but it's a story I've read a billion times. I don't, Wolverine Sabretooth fight.
It falls incredibly flat, and there's no hook. There's nothing interesting. There's really not a whole heck of a lot going on here.
But this book is, it just is retreading. I don't know why they come back. Like, I remember distinctly buying the comic book that Wolverine cut off Sabretooth's head with the Muramasa sword, the only sword that can kill Sabretooth and Wolverine, until they decided it isn't the sword that can kill Wolverine. Whatever. It's all nonsense anyway. But I don't... Another Wolverine Sabretooth thing doesn't mean anything. Like, that you have to do more with it than just have them punching each other. It has, like...
Yeah.
When they did it in Uncanny X-Force, when they involved young Apocalypse, Kid Apocalypse, and corrupting him, that added a new element that made it more interesting. When it's just, hey, Wolverine and Sabretooth are like the same dude, but Wolverine is like, that it's the same story that's been told for almost 40 years at this point. And there's nothing, I thought it'd be, there'd be more foreshadowing about his death and stuff like that, and about his mortality.
Instead, what they decided to put in is like, oh, you think he's going to die? It's later. Who gives a goddamn about it?
I just can't care about it.
It's not a strong issue, nothing. I did have some moments of enjoying the art. Like, I really like some of the drawings in here, regardless of the fact that this vampire story is, not good. We do get vampire, Bill Gates.
Basically.
Which is what everyone has always wanted.
Vampire Bill Gates.
I mean, yeah, don't you just, I mean, you would totally run Vampire Windows.
No, I don't. This book is not worth purchasing. At least we can say, regardless of how bad Death of Wolverine may or may not be, it will have Steve McNiven drawing it, and that is usually worthwhile, regardless of the story.
Yeah.
But this I cannot recommend. So, do not buy Wolverine number 12, for me, especially.
Extra especially, do not buy it.
Yeah, double do not buy. Totes, do not buy Wolverine number 12. Next up is an indie book of the week. It is Wayward, number one. Written by Jim Zub. Line art, Steve Cummings. Colors by Jean Roche and Jim Zub. Wow, Jim Zub does colors? I did not know he did that. Letters, Marshall Dillon. Back matter, Zach Davison. Which there's some, like a little piece about Japanese mythology in it.
Mm-hmm.
This book a lot has been sold like a Buffy-esque story. Which I actually saw more of like a, it felt more like a kind of a Studio Ghibli film to me. Like that's
it,
the Japanese mythos and all that stuff, the folklore element. And But there is, it's basically this half Japanese young woman.
Japanese and Irish.
Yeah, is coming back to live with her mother in Japan. And it's kind of the little bit of fish out of water outsider thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she quickly finds herself in a very strange kind of supernatural world with this,
blue-haired girl named Ayane.
Which makes me think of Dead or Alive.
Of course it does.
There's turtle guys, which...
Kappas.
Kappas.
It's a normal thing.
Well,
that's what they thought the Ninja Turtles were in Ninja Turtles 3.
Okay. I have not seen Ninja Turtles 3 in a long time.
Well... Some of us memorized it.
Some of us. I think this book is fun, and I like the art. I think, it's kind of light, fluffy, fun. It's like cotton candy.
There are things about it, something about the storytelling that, it's trying to act like it's big and epic and important, and it's not. You calling it cotton candy kind of does.
Well, that's what I see it as. I don't.
No. But I think it kind of hits on the head. What kind of bothers me about it is it thinks like this scene at the very beginning where like she's doing something really important, writing Nippon on the condensation in the window. Like that's very like a poignant way to start a comic. It's not. It's silly, and it's a silly book. It's not a particularly bad book, and I think issues 2 through 6 will probably be worth looking at, but I think it's kind of dumb.
Well, I don't, like, everywhere I read said, mm-hmm. this, it's like Buffy.
Well,
and
I can...
Buffy is this, it's... dumb, it's just yes. kind of pop
and
horror
I,
stuff. I mean,
exactly, and I kind of dislike Buffy. Honestly,
I've never really delved into it. I like the Japanese. I saw the Japanese. I saw the art. I saw the kind of. It looked more like Studio Ghibli.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that.
Well, I think that it's got. I think that it seems like it has both of those influences.
Yeah,
and that I would look at future issues of this based on that premise more so than the quality of this single book. This, I think, has some promise. It has some pretty lovely art. I enjoy it. I think the colors in particular work really well.
Yeah, it's very bright. I think it wouldn't work if it wasn't. There's lots of pinks and reds and blues and not just... You know, I think that's one of the selling points is the fact that it's very bright and colorful. I mean, I think they're trying to channel that feeling of Japanese neon, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm a buy on this. I like it. I don't think it is purely cotton candy, pop in your mouth, forget it, kind of just, you know, fun. If they compare it to, like, Buffy, Buffy is, like, just, like, kind of, like...
Yeah.
It's not some great, like...
No.
Like metaphor or anything. It's just kind of fun, you know, like monsters and jumping around and
but,
stuff.
But Buffy, like this, takes itself more seriously than that. I mean, I very clearly am a buy on it because I want to see where it's going. I want to see later books. I want to see the story develop. I think there's a lot of interesting places they can take it. I'm only a buy based on the strength of later issues. I am not a buy. If this was a one shot, if I wasn't sold on the premise, I would walk away from this book and be like, no, I'm not buying it. But based on that, I'm a weak buy with the potential to get stronger as it goes on. Does that make sense? You're just laughing in my face.
I am laughing at you. I don't, we'll call it a double buy. You guys,
yeah,
you just heard all that. I don't know what to make of that.
Well, no, that was me saying that it was a buy.
Okay, double buy then. Wayward number one.
You're such a douchebag.
Next up, we're jumping over DC. We are reading Justice League Dark, number 34. We haven't read this book in quite a while, mainly because it has been like in a quagmire of crossover events forever. And I did not want to read anything relating to Forever Evil or Trinity War. But is written by J.M. DeMatteis, pencils by Andres Guinaldo, Walden Wong on inks, Chris Sotomayor doing colors, and Rob Lay on the letters. The story about this is, the team is like in this weird other dimension thing. Nanda Parbat.
Sure.
I don't know if you can make any sense.
But no.
Facing like an omni-god called Pantheon.
Pantheon,
who's like a, basically like an amalgamation of thousands of other evil gods that have been boiled down to this one, and then...
That was the only thing that I thought was particularly interesting about this book, I thought that was a very interesting idea for a character. Particularly the way that they describe sort of how it sort of happened.
A lot of this issue is centered around Dead Man.
Yeah.
And he's been granted life. it's not really clear why he's been granted light, just because he has a connection
to
this place. Like,
and then he immediately dies within this issue.
Which is that's what really upset me a lot, I think, mostly about this, is because, like, I think that would make an interesting ongoing story about him having his mortality back, and we could explore it for a while. Maybe he does die eventually.
Right.
But he gets it back. Oh, I have to sacrifice myself.
Yeah.
And then immediately his sacrifice is worthless.
Well, it feels like an editorial decision that they're like, well, we need Dead Man to be regular Dead Man in XYZ coming up.
Well, he has to have his powers by the end of the
thing
because that's how they beat.
Well, that's just bad writing then. I think that they could have had to have worked something out. To where it just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't wrap up like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Swamp Thing's kind of interesting in this because
that was
fun. Like, he touches on, like, the green.
He connects to the green of this alternate world.
Yeah, so he has, like, this giant slug thing with, like, I don't know what to call it. A dragon-ish.
A dragon made out of trees.
Yeah, it's
made strange. Out of shrubbery.
Yeah, but the rest of this is just kind of a lot of nonsense.
It's pretty,
the Pantheon idea is interesting. What they do with Swamp Thing is a little interesting, but most of it is just kind of...
It's not worth your time.
The art's, I don't know, kind of what I expect from DC art for the most part. It's kind of DC art style.
It's not going to blow you away, but it's serviceable.
There's some, I like how they drew that big giant Swamp Thing, but other than that, I don't know, they just see those creatures fighting, I like that, but I think the creatures don't look cool, but... The rest of it just kind of looks like a DC book, which you expect from a DC book for the most part. I'm a do not buy.
Yeah, it'd be hard for me not to agree with everything you just said, because it's all true.
So, Justice League Dark number 34, double do not buy. Not having too great a track record this week.
I know, it's a bunch of losers.
Yeah, we had a double buy in Wayward. That was a double buy.
But... I think you heard me stammer around about it.
Superman number 34 is our last book of the week. It is written by Jeff Johns, art by John Romita Jr., inks by Klaus Janson, and colors by Laura Martin. Yes, Klaus Janson inks, Laura Martin colors, and Travis Lanham doing the letters. This is following kind of a Superman and Ulysses. Basically, they're kind of going further into Ulysses and his parents, and then they go. Then Superman and him go off into the sewers to like track down some machine thing.
Yeah,
and there's no. I mean, whatever. They go down into and then machinist. And this is the factory, and these are my merchandise.
Yeah.
And there's like a little. Catch thing at the end, a little reveal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This has been an arc that we've both been following and enjoying, and this is the most pedestrian of all of these stories Ulysses.
They did turn it a little bit with that last page reveal, because I'm like, so... We have already made a joke in this arc about, Superman, he is fighting robots, and it seems like Superman fights robots a lot because he can just rip their heads off and it's fine.
Yes.
And, that makes it very convenient because now he's just fighting a whole bunch more robots, and then, there's a thing, but still, it's just, I think we've covered it a billion times that I really like John Romita Jr.
Mm-hmm.
I really like some of his, there's a moment where Ulysses and Superman are at, like, that page.
Yeah.
I like that page a lot.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a double page spread of Ulysses blasting Superman with a heat vision. And there's some interesting things about how, like, Ulysses is, like, he absorbs energy. He's such a battery, basically, that Superman's powers around him are controllable.
It is sort of, yes.
Which I think that's interesting. But the machinist, I just don't, that the villain in this is kind of, I think, the we, I don't know. The twist makes it a little bit more interesting, but not that much more.
Right.
I really still really like John Romita Jr. drawing Superman. And I'll probably continue to read this unless it gets really bad. But I guess I'm still a buy on this. It's just definitely not as good as the first couple I've been.
I don't really have a problem saying that you can step away from this one. I mean, unless the whole arc will probably redeem it in the long run, but for right now, I don't particularly care for this issue. I will not be going home and buying my own copy.
I don't even know. I'll be buying my... Well, you... I mean, I won't be buying the trade.
But right.
Yeah. I guess, split decision on Superman number 34.
Yeah.
I think it's really on... If you're a fan of John Romita Jr., I think that's probably where it goes. I think that the story, there's some interesting bits in it, but most of it's kind of, like, been covered.
Yes.
But... You like Romita Jr., you'll probably like it more. If you don't, you'll like it less.
This is a lull, rising action in the arc. Yeah, I think exactly. It's fairly normal for storytelling.
Yeah. I do like the Superman logo on the front cover. It's like that pink hue.
You just are pinking it up.
I think that'll bring us into Weekly Floppies. Right now, we are going to talk Dragon Con.
This is the part of the show where we talk about Dragon Con.
This is part of the show where we talk about Dragon Con. pros and cons. Dragon pros and Dragon cons.
I know. You like that joke, don't you?
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I guess we can just start general pros of the con. I think that's where we start general focus down.
I mean, a lot of people. I mean, Dragon Con is obviously, it's like, it's the home for cosplay. Even more so. Than from what everyone says, any other con in the whole country, not just in the South.
No, this Dragon Con is the cosplay con.
It's yeah.
Like, for the people who are serious, like we professional yes. people.
The people that spend, you know, 8 to 11 months of the rest of their year working on their costume or tens of thousands of dollars of their hard earned money to try and look like a Dalek or
Mad Max.
Oh my gosh, Mad Max. That
Australian dirt.
That was the topper
that
so
was
far.
The, yeah.
That we met a gentleman at karaoke who said he imported Australian dirt to distress his Mad Max costume.
Impressive dedication.
It is that is the correct two words put together for
and
that.
He wanted everything to be precise,
hyper authentic. Yes. And we asked him, "What do you do for a living?" His answer: "I'm an accountant."
Yeah, that's pretty much like everyone here is like, "I'm a professor. I'm an accountant."
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm in my super authentic Mad Max costume. Or
yes,
whatever. But no, Adam Savage, even on his podcast, he's been to Dragon Con in the past.
And, oh yeah.
And he's always clear that this is the con that he's been to that is the most serious about cosplay. I mean, I don't know. All the cons I've been to, the ratio of people in costume versus out of costume is at the closest to 50%. I don't
yes.
think here. Like almost everyone is, in a costume. It may not everyone's like professional quality cosplay.
Oh yeah.
Everyone is in some kind of costume, like close to 50 or even probably higher than 50%. I don't know. Sometimes it seems that way. It seems like you pass people, everyone is in some sort of costume.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you want to talk about the negative side of that, assholes stopping for pictures in walkways.
Yeah.
Who is going to write the protocol for this shit?
Well, we were sitting, waiting in the ballroom for Terry Gilliam, and they have that Dragon Con TV that you see on monitors.
Of course.
Around, and they even say, like, on there, do not stop. You'll see nice costumes walk by you. Do not stop. And people do not care. They stop anyway.
Well, it's a different thing. I mean, why not? Say, hey, can I follow you where you're going?
Right.
And take your picture.
They don't.
I think that's much, particularly in the skyways.
There's only one way. You go, you're going.
There's
left, back or forward. There's no like side line where you can just get off to the side and take a picture.
There's a stream of people going both directions. Half of them have not washed all weekend.
Yeah,
everyone's tired and grumpy. You're going to stop all of them to take a damn picture for your Tumblr? Screw you.
Yeah, it's pretty rude. I don't know, some of it I'm sure it can be discounted to people who haven't been to a con before. Like, people are just like, they come one day.
Right.
They're here just like, look at people like, oh, look at that. And look at that. Like, that guy looks like he's from the movie.
Yeah.
So they want to take a picture.
Yeah, of course.
They may be not familiar with protocol, or they think, well, I've seen other people take pictures. I guess it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that I understand to a certain extent. I mean, I would think common sense would tell you, let's not hold up 1,000 people, literally 1,000 people mm-hmm. behind you. But maybe they just don't think that far ahead or think, I can take a picture for a second.
It's probably not as obvious as it seems, but I think that really the only thing that can be done is to probably be as nice as possible. Like, hey, you should go over there. Although in the moment you're just like, you're an asshole. So it's not really doesn't make for the best interaction.
It starts in 7 minutes. I need to be over there.
I have to walk through 45 minutes of people.
Yes.
Because good walking. I
stopped using the Skybridge.
Right.
Walking streets now.
Yeah. Well, it is
much faster.
It is indeed quicker.
You're in the sun, but whatever.
It's just more air.
I guess that's true. It's cleaner air. More atmosphere for it to disperse in.
I don't know that it's been particularly stinkier this con, but it has been sweaty as hell outside, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think actually last year's team was hotter. It seemed last year was hotter than this year. I felt less miserable. I'll say a con right now, I did not have baggage for 2 days. That was nothing to do with DragonCon. That's Southwest. So guys, think about that before you should go fly your airlines. Southwest, I've never had that experience until trying to get my bags, and it took 2 days for them to do so after they told me I'd get it in less than a day. So
yeah, when you think about being at Stink Central
and then having no change of clothes
for 2 days, these guys complained nonstop. I felt pretty bad for them, at least at first. Then I just wanted to laugh.
Well, it's one thing, like, being at home and being grubby.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine. Whatever. I'd be staying in my house for the whole weekend and not change my clothes. You don't even think about it.
Being grubby by choice.
But then when you're, like, walking 5 miles a day or more
mm-hmm.
in heat and around many other people.
Yeah.
Being in the same clothes for more than a day is not fun.
No, I don't particularly want to. I don't want to smell like a bag of gym socks around all the sexy, nerdy girls.
No. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, despite a lot of problems that people just seem to sort of overlook, they don't, you know, it's this gross environment and people sort of, they miss out on these little cues. Everyone is generally pretty jacked to be here. You know, that's one of the reasons I love cons is it's here and it's great because we've sort of done it for ourselves. You know, Dragon Con would not be great without the content creators. It would not be great without cosplayers. It would not be great without the people here. Walking around on the streets, I was sort of thinking about inclusiveness. Can you imagine Dragon Con without women? Think about that, Robbie.
No,
think about what that environment would be like.
It'd be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
It'd be the worst thing ever. And
so thank God.
I've thought about this a bit myself. I mean, there's been a lot of discourse online. The past few days, we've been mostly free of it because we haven't really had very solid internet, and we don't have our, I mean, I have my laptop here, but I haven't really, we're too busy really to be on a computer.
Yes.
So we haven't really, I really wanted to delve, I mean, there's been several good articles that I've kind of bookmarked for later that I want to really read and get into in discussion, because it's really interesting our culture, nerd culture, we even talk about, I mean, we talk about it a lot.
It's in our intro.
It's in our intro.
That you remembered.
I remembered. I did not need to read it.
You rememberized it.
I rememberized it. It's often ugly. And, like, there's pits of it where it's the worst traits of people.
Yeah.
Where it's racist and homophobic and misogynist.
Yeah.
And it comes from, I don't know, I've seen many posts from my friends and, you know, people I follow where they go, you know, people used to complain, oh, why aren't there more different people in my fandom? And then when that happens, people grab it back. No, it's mine. I don't want anyone else to have this. This is my thing.
Well, I mean, you know, but these are not necessarily the same people doing this. No, but it's hard not to take the monolithic look at it to where you're saying, exactly that.
I mean, but you go, you walk the streets around the con hotels, you go through the panels, there's as many, I mean, there's probably more dudes than women here. It's not obvious of that though. It's not like you go, well, oh, there's a woman. Oh, there's an, well, I can, it's not strange to see many women here.
Right. And it can't be any less than two to one.
No, it's,
I would say a third at the least. Yeah, I would say it probably is going towards 50%.
Yeah, I think it's more emblematic of what the actual fandom is.
Yeah.
It's just the people who are the loudest generally, and people you see, I don't know, if you go to a comic shop or things of that nature, you generally see dudes, and I think that is a very positive thing that you go to a con and you see that number seemingly from, I mean, it's kind of offhand, just observation. It's no scientific kind of basis, but it seems that there are more women here.
Yes.
Than there have been I've been going to cons my whole life. Seeing the demographics change is gratifying.
It's wonderful. It makes me feel happy. Yes. It absolutely does.
Yeah, I think because the con, there were several incidents coming out of San Diego of awful things happening to women.
Yeah.
And
Did you hear the follow up on that story that girl that they thought was like just horribly raped? It just turned out that she took a bunch of drugs and then passed out in a ditch. Like she was not molested.
That's not good, but
it's one less rape that happened. So
yes,
that's a,
yes,
that is a positive thing.
Yeah. But there's still the whole cosplay is not consent kind of ideas and things like that. But I think that hopefully the Dragon Con, I think they tried very hard to try, and the con itself and the people who are organized try and preach kind of openness and open-mindedness and try and spread so that everyone feels welcome and safe.
Yeah.
And I think that I haven't really felt, you feel ashamed of it, of being like in this culture sometimes.
Yes.
Because of other people and how they act. And you go to cons and you feel like icky. There's moments where you're just walking and you see a situation or you see a dude doing something, just the way he's acting, not necessarily to anyone in particular, just in general, like, oh, he's in this group with me. I don't like that.
Hmm.
But
you know, I have not really encountered much of that.
Well, not
myself.
No, that's not this. I mean, in the past, this weekend is actually, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I have not actually really felt that way much this weekend, at least not in that particular regard.
I don't think that I've ran into any of that really in any of my experience. And I've always said that if it ever was in front of me that I would try and speak out against it, but I've not encountered it. But I'm glad you haven't seen any of it here.
No, this weekend has been less morons. It's been mostly people who are maybe obnoxious.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well,
but not, I mean, that's generally, it's a con, there's going to be obnoxious people. Like, there's obnoxious, whenever you group 100,000 people in this
right.
place, if you go to a baseball game, there's obnoxious people.
Of course.
It's just the way it is.
And maybe the culture is beginning to police itself better.
Maybe
people are more comfortable saying, you know, just don't be a dick. Just because overall it feels cool. It feels light. People are getting along. Like I can have, like I can walk up and say something silly to someone and they go right along with it, you know?
Yeah.
And if they don't want to go along with it, you know, we brush off and, you know, they're fine, you know? It's, I don't know. It feels pretty okay. And hopefully hopefully the rapey bits aren't there.
No, yeah. we're just not seeing it. But yeah. Hopefully this trend continues. Like sometimes I go to places and they don't feel open to anyone but the dregs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that this place is not one of those places.
Absolutely.
I guess we're going to start with the broad strokes. And
I think we've gotten a pretty good sense of the overall feel of the con. It's been
A
very good several days at this point.
I mean, we're going to, I guess, delve into artists and some cheering going on somewhere. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, I know. It's quite a wavelength there.
Yeah.
That's
what they tell me.
I think for me, a big exclamation point was meeting Kelly Sue DeConnick.
She is delightful. Yeah, you've seen the picture. I got a duck face picture.
Yeah.
Maybe you should use it as the
not art. I can do that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
I really admire Kelly Sue. I think she's a great writer. And having talked to her, she's first of all, like, she spent at least 5 minutes with every single person.
Yes.
That came up to her. The way they set up the system was that she actually had to move her to another table because I think the line would have been right in the way of everything if she had sat at the table she was originally assigned. But they had separated everyone, so you get called over kind of individually. At least when I went, I don't know how it was with you.
There was no one there.
Oh, really?
I was the second person in line. I thought I was the third person in line.
Right.
But the person that was in front of me was a staff member.
Volunteer, yeah.
Yes.
But when I was there was quite a line when I went. It was Saturday, so that might explain some of it. But she spent at least 5 minutes with every single person. She engaged with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
She signed all my books, personalized them, and I talked to her about trying to come to MegaCon, and she's like, she told me that they'd love to. It's just hard for their schedule, which I imagine with them writing like a million comic books in between.
Well, her excuse is always, I have two kids.
And she does have two children, which, frankly, most people with two children don't really do anything. They just have kids.
Well, there are some people with two children, and they're here.
That's true.
Your move, Kelly Sue.
But, you know, and she couldn't have been a nicer person. Like,
she was a fucking delight. I met her at Starbucks and talked to her for several minutes. I don't even remember what about at this point. But when I saw her at the booth, she's like, hey, it's my coffee buddy. And I was like, you're great.
Yeah, we also saw her and several other creators in a creator-owned comics panel, which is interesting. Like, I'm covering mostly stuff that I kind of understood, but it was nice hearing these stories from actual creators.
Do you know what was not nice? You know what I'm going to say.
Go ahead, say it.
The Q&A session. Everybody except us was apparently a complete fucking idiot at this panel. And if you went to this panel, I'm sorry, you're such a fucking idiot.
There's only like five people who ask questions.
To be fair, there was maybe one good question. One guy tried to explain how Google worked to the people that were comic book creators. He tried to explain how Google worked to them. One person literally said, how do you make logos for your comic? And Do you know what impressed me about these terrible, terrible, terrible questions?
That these creators answered them like they're real questions?
Yes! Wasn't it amazing? They were so gracious. I would have stood up and laughed at these people. I would have been like, you're a fucking idiot. Why would you ask a comic book writer about designing a fucking logo? You're a moron.
That's the one thing I really... that I dislike about going to panels.
It just made me cringe.
I would go to many more panels if they were strictly curated by...
Yes.
No Q&A. Do not let us morons engage with...
And that's the thing. I like to think I'm a reasonably intelligent person. I could probably craft some kind of question. I'm not going to fucking get up there and ask them something in front of people. I'm not necessarily shy either.
No.
But I'm still not going to I'm not going to insert myself into this. I'm not going to pretend I'm so important. Here's another thing. I also think I'm incredibly important. I'm still not going to do it. Oh my God! No. What is wrong with people?
I don't know. That would be the when she was announced that she was coming to DragonCon, I was very excited, and she lived up and exceeded any expectations. She's mm-hmm. It's probably the best interaction I've ever had with a comics creator at a con. Honestly,
it's certainly on up there for me. It is high on the list. Quite possibly my best as well. She is a delight. Tonight will be the third panel that I'll have gone to that she's been on. And everyone I can't imagine this one being bad, although it is a round table. I think that getting John Q. Public in there to talk about this shit. We're going to see. This is going to be interesting.
Who knows what'll come of it.
Yeah.
Do you want to touch on some Artist Alley people?
I can talk about this for quite some time.
You can read the names and general impression. I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't have forever.
No, we'll figure it out. But, I mean, as we know, I spend all of my time ever in Artist Alley and, this has been no exception. I've had a really great time meeting some old friends and meeting some new folk. I think right off the bat, I'm even going to start with Christopher Soprano. He is quite possibly in the mafia. I don't know. He is from New Jersey.
A guy named Soprano is from New Jersey.
Yeah. See, I thought it was just made up. I didn't realize that was a real name.
I have family in New Jersey, so yeah, that's real. Yeah. That's a real thing.
Well, he's a Soprano, and he is a sculptor. Well, the way he creates these things, and I'm holding in my hands right now, it's got a heart with skulls in it, and it says "Eternal Love" in Latin. But it's sculpted. He'll sculpt it in some kind of clay, and then cast it in resin. And then hand paint them. But I was a fan of a lot of his work, and we just clicked. We sat and talked for the longest time about this and that and illustrators and his experience at the con. And I just thought he was a stand-up dude. It was a series of really great interactions. But he actually gave me a free sculpture, I guess, just for hanging out and being cool. So, I don't know that it's going to work with anyone else. You people should give him money. He's pretty wonderful. But that's Christopher Soprano, really just trying to make his world as an artist and just a really excellent guy. I met an artist that I had apparently admired for a very long time. I thought he was much younger than he was, and that was one of the things. His name is Todd Lockwood. I was not terribly aware of who he was, you know. I had just seen his artwork and I was familiar with it. And, you know, I thought he was a great talent. And one piece in particular, it's over there across the room, was this drawing sort of from an aerial view, and the perspective changes as it goes back. And he said it was an illustration they were crafting for a party. you know, to notify people of a party, celebrating, you know, some Wizards of the Coast business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have in the illustration, it was their criteria was it has to show we're going to be eating turkey legs and drinking ale. So it has to show it in the illustration. And his concept was, well, if we're going to do that, we're going to show a bar fight. So it's this big bar fight and it's got this crazy perspective going on. And it's a glorious illustration, and I had to get a copy. But Todd Lockwood is a real, like, just a beast of an illustrator and a hell of a nice guy. And he walked halfway up to outside to do a square for me and just hung out with me the whole time, and we talked for quite a long time. He was just a true gentleman, like, could not have been a nicer guy. Were you familiar with his work at all?
No. I mean, there's a lot of, it seems there's a lot of people here, more than most any other cons, like fantasy painters.
I think they do well here, and I think it's that specifically because of the art show.
Yeah.
Because it
separates it from comic artists.
Yes, and it's an interesting sort of artificial division. No other con would do this, but I think that they're run by separate groups of people. Like anyone, an artist that I really regret having never met before is Corey Godby.
Yeah, I really liked his work. It's very, very beautiful.
Yeah, it's very sort of ethereal and, you know, wavy organic lines. And I would say there's some Miyazaki influence in there. You talk about the sort of how, like, Miyazaki has these environmental themes based around Japanese mythology.
Right.
This feels sort of as an environmental theme, or at least, you know, it's sort of forest, but it feels like Western culture, you know, like the Fae and little fairy creatures.
Yeah, it has like a, you know, Tolkien-esque.
Yes.
I mean, all Western fantasy is Tolkien-esque to a certain extent, but
I think it's
Shakespearean, I would even say.
Yes, older. I like that.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, you know, The Tempest or something. Yes. In that regard.
But something about, like, the cartooning, and it brings me back to Miyazaki.
Well, I think it has a kind of there's a playful edge to something.
Yes. It definitely
Miyazaki
is.
Miyazaki kind of hallmark.
He's one of I was telling him that he reminded me of, Justin Gerard, who I'm a fan of. I did not talk to this con. I did look at, I think it's his wife. Her name is Annie Stegg. Okay. They always show together. She is incredibly talented, but her work is just as good as it is just not my aesthetic. It's, I think, just a little too feminine for me. But it's still incredibly good. But anyway, I was talking to Corey and I said, you know, your drawing style reminds me a lot of this guy, Justin Gerard, who's just over there. And he's like, yeah, he's been my friend since high school. Right? That makes a lot of sense. But anyway, I think I'm going to have to buy some originals of Corey's as it stands. Just to throw him some patronage, I bought two of his books of some of the illustrations, the pencil drawings that were kind of hurting me not to buy, but I thought they were reasonably priced. Dragon Con is already stretching my budget more than it should.
Yeah, it's expensive.
It has been quite pricey to get here.
To get here, to stay here, to eat.
Yes. To live.
To live.
To frolic.
That's a different con.
Sit this one too.
Not as much. There is.
You can hear it a little bit out there.
There's a con called Frolic Con.
Well, I have some plane tickets to buy.
It's a
polycon. What does that mean?
People who are in, you know, polyamorous relationships.
Oh, good for them.
Open relationships. I don't I'm trying to define as impossible because everyone defines it differently.
But of course.
But, you know.
Two more people I will mention very, very briefly is a young gentleman named Drew Green. Very, very, very nice illustrator. Geometric designs, you know, very, very designed illustration, I would say. You know, hard edges, geometric shapes, circles and, you know, angles and things like that. It's all very colorful and friendly. But the two illustrations in particular that I have, well, there's a Kirby illustration and there's a Samus illustration.
And by Kirby, we do not mean Jack Kirby. We mean Kirby, the Nintendo character.
Yeah, that it doesn't even compute to me that Jack Kirby's a person. But they have this really just beautiful, chalky texture to them. And I think that's always really a recipe for a nice illustration. Just a beautiful texture and a nice design and a really good sense of color. But he's got a very nice sense of stylization beyond all of that sense of design. But he's done, you know, some Steven Universe illustrations and various other characters. I'm not sure this character that's on his business card, but it is a project that I think he's been working on. I do not know what these characters are.
Astro Boy.
Yeah, I get that. And I'm sure that's definitely an influence of his, but nice design, nice illustrative design work in his art, and really a tremendous guy. He said it was his second con ever, which my thoughts to him were, it does not look like it's your second con ever. So you've got your shit together. So good game. Just keep at it. He did an absolute wonderful job. And I will say, last but not least, is an old con buddy, Dave Cook. Not Dane Cook.
No, that's much worse.
That's considerably worse.
Is it I Draw Monsters?
That is I Draw Monsters.
Right.
IDrawMonsters.com. I want to say, anyway.
It is.
Yeah, there it is. IDrawMonsters.com. I don't think he updates that site very much.
Yeah,
I'm really curious what's going on outside, and I want to go out and put my big nose in the middle of it. But it's a Big Daddy Roth sort of style illustration, you know, the Rat Fink sort of style illustration. But I want to say this is what Dave looks like.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Like if without the Satan-y bits. But it's a picture of, a self-portrait, Big Daddy Roth, Satan, you know, all this stuff thrown in. It's fun stuff. It sounds fun to me.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of Dave.
It's your aesthetic.
It does. I think a lot of his stuff does. He and I get on pretty well. He's just a fantastic guy. But yeah, I think there are plenty of others, which I will be typing up and we'll be adding to the show notes, all people that you should look up. And, you know, I could talk for hours, but do you have any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. It's a lot of fun. Last year we didn't get up here until Friday.
Yeah.
This year we got here on Thursday. Unfortunately, we didn't have bags, but, other than that, you know, the environment, having a con, we had a con hotel this year, which we didn't last year. That makes a big difference as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier. You can just check in. You can go lay in your bed for half an hour and go back down.
I'm a buy on con hotels.
Yeah. It's more expensive, but it's so much more convenient for everything that.
Well, you basically never have to leave the con. You don't need transportation.
No.
You, it's 24/7 con.
Right.
And you can step away when you want to step away and relax. You can get the hell out of it when, you know.
If you're tired, you can go lay down.
Yeah.
If you want to take a shower, you can take a shower.
If you want to go act crazy or talk to comic artists, it's right there at your fingertips.
Yeah. It's a great experience if you live in the Southeast. I mean,
even if you don't.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, I mean, it's an airplane right away. We flew here, but you could drive if you were close enough. But either way, it's an excellent con, especially if you like cosplaying. It's certainly, I think that's the preeminent con for that. And I think it's also gaining in that, in other ways, like the comic, the artists and writers and art actors and whatever, which Eric and I really don't care that much about, but.
We always ignore them, don't we?
Pretty much. I walked through the Walk of Fame just to look around, but I have not stayed in the line. The only people I've stood in line for were comic people.
And yeah.
I have not.
Well, it's pretty clear where our, maybe we should start a comic book podcast.
Oh, wait. I did stand in line for the Terry Gilliam panel. But it's Terry Gilliam.
He
was in Monty Python.
Yeah, he was a Python first.
He directed Brazil. It's kind of a good movie.
Yeah.
And he was delight, but it's a great con. Unfortunately, I don't think either of us are going to be able to come next year, but.
Various unfortunate reasons.
Getting married. Actually, that's the reason for both of us. Married marriages.
I didn't realize you and I were getting married.
No, I'm getting married, and then your brother is getting married.
I'm not getting married to my brother. That's creepy.
No, but your brother is getting married to another person.
Yes, that's true.
And that will probably interfere with your plans to come. And we do not have the funds for both a honeymoon and Dragon Con. So.
I guess.
We'll have to.
Just honeymoon at Dragon Con.
No, we're not doing that.
That's the kind of dumb shit I would do.
I'm not going to do that. I don't know. I think this, I don't know if there's any more cons this year in our future, in my future at least. I don't think.
We have done enough cons this year.
Yeah, we did. MegaCon, SuperCon, TampaCon, DragonCon. I think that's all.
That's a lot of cons for 1 year.
Yeah, for people who are not professional comic book people.
Yeah, I don't know at this point that I'm conned out. I could probably do another one, and I would be perfectly happy. But that's still, that is an awful lot of cons.
I may dial it back next year, depending on who's who's actually available, who actually is there, because that's a lot of the appeal. It's very expensive. I think that's, it is expensive.
It has been pricey.
It's a, Dragon Con, it specifically is, a lot of fun. It's a very unique con. I would recommend it to anyone who's interested in comic books or kind of any, I don't know, general nerdery.
It's the experience. If you've ever been on the fence about going, good Lord, go.
Yeah, it's fun.
So next week, folks, we're going to read the Infinity Gauntlet, 1-6, a big crossover of event that's really weighing heavily into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and certainly should probably be weighing into the Marvel Comic Universe as well, but yeah.
I think that's good enough.
Yeah, we can put this one straight to bed.
To bed. Wake up in 3 hours hungover.
Yeah, there you go.
But, let's see. We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/HandsomeBoysComicsHour. You can find us on Twitter at HBC Hour. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Please like us, leave us a review, subscribe to us to those places. It really helps us get more exposure. We really appreciate it. We will give you big hugs if you do those things for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will give you the biggest of hugs.
And we,
I'm a hugger.
We're on Handsome Boys Comics Hour. TansomeBoysComicsHour.com, which, I mean, that goes without saying. So you should go to that website.
We're on the internet now?
We're on the internet now.
My God.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at NixmasterSerial. Eric, where can they find you online?
You can see my portfolio by going to freewillunlimited.com, and you can see most of the things I get up to online by going to ericzgoodnight.com. And you can tweet at me. My Twitter handle is Mr. Bad Example. Spelled MR Bad Example.
And with that, we will put this one to bed, like we mentioned earlier.
Yep. And it's going to wake up in 3 hours hungover.
Yep. So until next time, have a good one.
Rock and roll.